really. It is the most powerful message we have, but it is the most simple message we have. John chapter 3, verse 16. My intent this morning was to preach out of 1 Samuel 29, and I was going to start a series and all that. But I would rather do what Jesus would have me to do. As we were going through the worship part, I really felt like God was saying, if they would lean into me, I would fix a lot of the problems they have. But they're so scared to let go and let God have their lives. If at any time in the next few minutes you're sitting here and you're wondering, can I go up there and just simply cry out to Jesus? You can. We do not have a church. We will never be a church that will be in such a constructed format that we would hinder anybody from reaching out to Jesus. While Jesus walked the face of this earth, there were many times people interrupted Christ. Many people would either touch the hem of his garment. They would run and get at his feet. They would show up in rooms and begin to worship him. They would begin to cry out and say, it's my son who's died. Jesus would halt a group for a man who would cry out and say, oh God, have mercy on my soul. Jesus never gets too busy that he won't stop for somebody who needs him. And if the church ever gets too busy that we can't stop what we're doing to tell somebody simply that Jesus Christ can save their soul and change their life, then we're too busy and we're going too fast. If you need a church that's so organized and so complete and so got in their format that they can't move by the Holy Spirit of God, then that won't be us. I'm sorry. If God's there, I want to turn into him. If he's in the room, I don't want to pass him up and do something that I want to do. What I'd like to do is, if God's there, I want to say, Jesus, what would you have us to do? What would you want us to do this morning? And I believe that God wanted us to worship. I believe he wanted us to say, oh God, it's good. Some of you have heard, some of you have talked about a revival there was. All that revival was somebody said, I don't care what the rest of the world is doing. I want Jesus. I want Jesus and I want him now. I don't want social media. I don't want approval. I don't want fame. I don't want a career. I don't want money. I don't want a woman. I don't want a man. I want Jesus. If you'll ever just get Jesus, you'll figure it out. He is enough. Amen. If you ever just get him in your life, you'll find he is enough. Some of you have got in the church, but you have never allow Jesus to really get in you. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Some of you right now, you've never had Jesus on the inside. You've got a form of godliness, but you don't know the power thereof. Amen. You think you're going to do something when you come to the house of God. You're going to sing this. You're going to preach that. You're going to teach that. You're going to show up. But I want to tell you, if you'll ever just get about Jesus, when you walk in this room and make it all about him, your lessons will be better. Your songs will be sweeter. Your prayers will be crisper. When you do it in your own power, you're doing it for naught. But if you would do it for the King, oh my God, all heaven would bow down and listen. God said he leans off the throne of glory with his ears and eyes seeking for those who would worship and praise him, those that would love him. Wouldn't that be amazing right now if up in heaven right now the clouds have pulled back a little bit? God's leaning off his holy throne. The angels are flying above the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy." And God's saying, "Will you quieten down a little bit? I believe there's somebody down there on the mountain." I remember when Carla first started singing that. "Girl, I've heard you sing that song a million times, but I've never heard you sing it like that." You know why? Because you found out through the fires and trials of life, he is. He is. He is there. Amen. When trouble comes, God comes. When things fall apart, God shows up. Some of y'all only got a God who's there on the mountaintop. I got a God who walks through the valleys in the shadow of death and says, "You are mine, you are mine, you are mine. I will not let you walk alone." Boy, I wish you knew him this morning. I wish you knew him for your children. I wish you knew him for your wife. I wish you knew him for your husband. I wish you knew him for your job. I wish you knew him for the community that you could have. I wish you just knew him and the power of his salvation. God is so good to reach down and love wretched sinners like us. To look on our lives. To look at our dirty, filthy lives and say, "I want him. I want her. I'll die for her. I'll die for him. To save him. To save her. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God did not come to this earth that you could have anything but salvation. He was a healer. He was a financial man. He was a leader. He was all those things. But none of those matter more than this. He came to be a sacrifice for your sins, where you wouldn't go to a place called hell for eternity. That's why he came. That's why you're sitting here this morning. You're sitting here this morning because he wants you to know that he loved you enough. You will never have a father, a mother, a brother, or a sister, or a child who will love you more than God. Because while you were yet an enemy of him, he died for your sins. He literally hung on that cross and took every sin that you and I committed and died for those sins, that one day you will not lift your eyes up in eternity in a place called hell. If you do, you'll have no excuse, because you're sitting in this service this morning. You'll have no excuse, because God has wrecked every bit of the song service, every bit of the preaching, just to have me stand right here in your life and go like this: "You better get saved this morning and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You better repent of your sins. You better ask him to be the Lord of your life and fill you with the Holy Spirit, and then therefore lead the rest of your life." And I don't care if you've been sitting here for 40 or 50 years or you're just here for the very first time ever. You all fall into the same place. Either you know him or you don't. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And I'm standing here with a stop sign in front of you this morning. I'm telling you, don't go any further. There is a deadline that's here this morning. There is a deadline for you this morning. And I'm telling some of you, this is going to be an opportunity. If you miss this opportunity, you're going into a life that's unexplainable and unimaginable. And guess what? You might be cold towards God the rest of your life, and you will know that you went past this deadline. Some of you are sitting here right now, "I don't like you preaching like that. I didn't ask your approval." I'm not begging you to like me or love me or even appreciate what I'm doing this morning, because this is so far outside the comfort zone of my message. I want you to tell you, I'm standing here telling you, you have a Savior. I don't care what school has told you. I don't care what book you've read. I don't care what you listen to online. I'm telling you right now, God Almighty has sent me to tell you this morning, repent and turn unto Christ before it's eternally too late for your soul. And I don't care what your mama or daddy or grandmother or anybody would say when you got home and you said, I accepted Christ. This is the day of decision. I'm going to read this verse and I'm going to ask them if they'll come and they'll sing the old rugged cross. I'm going to read this one more time and I'm going to read the verses following. Somebody just come on, whoever wants to play that and sing that, please. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, that's everybody in this room, you're a whosoever. God is opening up the opportunity for everybody in this room to come forward and to really accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you believe, those who believe should not perish, but have everlasting life. When you believe in something, you give your time, your money, your energy, and your life to it. You rest in it. You understand it. You talk about it. It flourishes in your life. For verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I'm telling you this morning, God didn't come down here and condemn this world. He made it one opportunity, one shot, one way, one door, one path to get into heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. You're not condemned this morning. You're sitting here this morning. You're getting an opportunity to come unto Christ. You're getting an opportunity to walk right up to the throne of glory and say, I'm a sinner and I want to come into the kingdom of God, and I believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross for not only the sins of the world, but my sins. God, fill me with the Holy Spirit and be the Lord of my life. Listen to verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. If you're a believer this morning, this message should get you excited. This message should be something in your soul right now going, praise God, praise God. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you do not believe in Jesus this morning, if you don't believe in Him, you're condemned already. You're sitting here. God's looking for it. He's looking for the seal and He don't see it. And this is the condemnation, that the light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. You're sitting here this morning, you got a chance. You can draw back into the darkness. Or you can step out and walk into His marvelous light. God, I hope you choose Jesus. I've tried to be obedient as I possibly can this morning, to tell you one thing and one thing only. If you live your whole life, I don't care how successful you become, I don't care what you gain in this world, if you go through this whole world and you don't get Jesus, that is a failure of a life. But if you accept Jesus before you walk out these doors, no matter how bad you fail, no matter how bad your life falls apart, you'll have the greatest life that's ever been told, because you are in relationship and fellowship with the Savior of the world. Let's all stand. If they play with the old rugged cross, some of you are sitting here. I've been doing this long enough to know. There are some of you sitting right here.
On a hill far.